So if you have your Bibles today, we're going to be in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke in the second chapter. And this is a neat story that I think it's skipped a lot of times during the Christmas season. We don't spend a lot of time in it. But we're going to be in Luke 22 today, starting at 22. And what the story tells us, this is a story about Anna and Simeon. You guys have heard of them before? Anna and Simeon. They're two characters that you hear nothing about until you get in the second chapter of Luke, and then you don't hear about them again after that. And so what we learn from these people is that God puts a lot of demand on us. There's expectations that we have. He expects us to endure loneliness sometimes, long waiting. Sometimes he expects us to endure pain and grief and rejection. And sometimes it's a lack of understanding when we do follow Jesus.
Where are we supposed to be?
We're going to be in Luke 2 today.
2 or 22?
Luke 2, verse 22. So Luke 2, starting with verse 22. So we're going to be in Luke 2, starting at chapter 22. Verse 22. So all these things are things that God expects of us. Sometimes it's, you know, we wait, we pray, and we don't hear an answer from God. Sometimes it comes a lot later in life. He looks to us to follow the Holy Spirit, even when we don't understand what the Holy Spirit is trying to get us to do. Nothing that God calls us to do is ever easy, is it? In fact, I've learned that the more God calls you into things, the harder it seems to get. The more challenging it is, the more you want to obey and walk with God, the more challenging life becomes. I think most of you have experienced that at one point or another in your lifetime.
Amen, brother.
Well, that isn't anything new. This is how God has operated from the beginning of time and since man and women fell in the Garden of Eden. And so I want to take you to this story today of Simeon and Anna. Again, these are two characters you don't hear much about in many messages given around Christmas time. But nonetheless, they are part of the Nativity story. They come kind of at the end of the Nativity story. But I don't want us to forget about them. You won't see many Christmas cards about them. You won't have much in terms of messages about them. In fact, most of you probably haven't heard of them before. What we will learn about these two individuals is that they both endured the life of a servant, waiting on God, believing in God, trusting in God's promises until they were fulfilled. Before we get directly into Simeon and Anna's story here, I want to give us some background on what's going on. So, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He was circumcised according to the laws. And then we get into some background about what Mary and Joseph are about to do with Jesus. Now keep in mind, he is still an infant, okay? So if we would look at Luke 2, and if I have somebody that would read 22 through 24. Anybody?
I'll read.
Okay.
When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons.
Thank you, Sarah. So this is Mary and Joseph following the Jewish law, the Mosaic law, and the customs that were handed down to all Jewish people. What this is showing you is that the parents of the Son of God are following the letter of the law given by Moses. They're being faithful and devout to God's law. And they're taking their infant son, according to the law, and they're going to do a ritual here at the temple. Now, this was a tradition and a custom that was carried down from the time that Moses received or wrote down the books of Leviticus, the books of Numbers, Deuteronomy. All these laws are in there. And so what you learn is that 33 days after circumcision, a mother was to take their infant child to the temple and do this cleansing sacrifice. It was a cleansing ritual that they would do. And instead of, you were supposed to take, I believe it was a sheep, but if you didn't have money for a sheep, you took two pigeons. You took birds. And so obviously, they took birds instead because they were poor. And they take them there and they do this ritual. And God also said, you are to dedicate your firstborn son to me. Again, Mary and Joseph being faithful take Jesus and they offer him as their firstborn. Now, Exodus 13:2, if you have the Bible app up, somebody have that up? Somebody want to read that?
13:2?
Yes, please. Thank you, Cindy. Consecrate your firstborn. No matter what it is, God wants the first of everything we have to offer. Everything goes to him first. Mary and Joseph were faithful to God, and they did this. Here they had God incarnate as their son, and they still did everything they were supposed to do to maintain righteousness and faithfulness to God required by the law. And here, you guys ever read the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel? Anybody? I have. In 1 Samuel, it's very similar. So 1 Samuel 1:28, it says, "So now I give him to the Lord for his whole life. He will be given over to the Lord," and he worshiped the Lord there. Samuel was dedicated to the Lord, and he worshiped there his whole life. Just like that, here Christ is being offered to the Lord and he's going to serve God the Father his whole life. So there's a lot of similarities and a lot of things that are being set up here to show us the importance of what's going on. So now that we have the background, let's begin to dive into Simeon and Anna and their story. Now keep in mind, all this kind of continues on. So they're at the temple, they did their cleansing rites, they offered Jesus as their firstborn son. And then we run into this character named Simeon. So Simeon begins in Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 29. Do I have any takers that like to read those verses? Anybody?
I can read it.
Okay.
"Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in this child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace.'"
Thank you so much. So how many of you have read that story before in Luke about Simeon? It's just kind of a blip in Luke, and you don't find it in the other Gospels, right? So who is this man? He comes out of nowhere. And why did Luke choose to reveal him in this story? What's the significance of it? There's very little given about Simeon in this text. Usually we hear something about who this person is, that he was the brother of somebody or his father was so-and-so. Yes, ma'am.
You're asking why the Holy Ghost had promised him that he would get to see Jesus before he died.
Yeah, that's right. So I'm going to get there, Sandra.
Okay.
But you're absolutely right.
Jumping ahead.
You're absolutely right. Luke described Simeon as righteous. It's the first word he used to describe Simeon, that he was righteous. Keep in mind, this is Israel during the Roman rule, the Roman Empire. And during this time, there weren't many people that God considered righteous. Israel was scattered out. Israel was kind of a fallen nation still at this point. And they were under the Roman government. And they were being their temple was run by a corrupt Jewish king, Herod. And so it was hard for anybody to be considered righteous in this time. But this man, this particular man, he followed God's law. That's what made him righteous. Just like Mary and Joseph were taking Jesus and doing all the things that the law commanded them to do, they were considered righteous. He obviously loved God and God's people deeply because he was waiting for Israel to be redeemed. It also says that he was devout. Well, the word devout means that he's devoted to serving God. He's devoted to service. He's giving his life for a cause in worship and in prayer and devotion to God. And there was something here that's quite special about this man, which is why Luke decided to write about him. And it's not just about this man, but it's about what's happening in this man's life and what he has to proclaim about Jesus Christ. And so what we learn is the Holy Spirit was upon him, just like you were saying, Sandra. We don't read about that often in the New Testament or in the Gospels until Jesus is being baptized. We learn of the Holy Spirit coming upon Mary. We learn of the Holy Spirit coming upon Elizabeth. Then you have John and Jesus being born. But until Pentecost, you don't hear much more about the Holy Spirit. You hear about the Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus when he was baptized. But here the text says that this man, Simeon, has the Holy Spirit upon him. God was moving in this man's life for some reason. Luke made sure that we as the readers understood the importance of the Holy Spirit being active in this man's life. Now keep in mind, his sins had not been atoned for by Christ at this point. Remember that Jesus said, "I go so that I can send the Holy Spirit to you." And so this is a whole different thing that's going on here. God is preparing the coming of the Messiah. He's preparing the world to receive Jesus Christ. And he's doing it through common people like Simeon that we know nothing about. He's moving in an unknown individual. I think the reason we don't know anything about him is because that's how God operates. He takes the small things of this world, the unknown things, the people like you and me that are insignificant in this mighty world of 7 billion people, and he uses those things to move and to shape and to prepare the world for what he's doing. The Holy Spirit at this point in time is becoming quite active. There were a lot of angelic sightings. There were a lot of things moving in certain directions and preparing for the Savior. God was preparing the world for the Messiah. Do you think he stopped doing that? Sometimes it feels like he has. We know from what Luke tells us that God made a promise to Simeon. He made a promise. What we don't know is how that promise was delivered to Simeon. We just know that the Holy Spirit inspired it somehow. I'm guessing that Simeon, because he was devout, he spent a lot of time in prayer and in worship and in fasting. And he probably spent a lot of his time at the temple. He just wanted to be close to God. He wanted to be connected with God, and he cared so much about Israel. I'm guessing he was interceding on the behalf of Israel. I don't know if you guys have seen this thing called International House of Prayer before or heard of it. When we were in D.C. for this pastor's conference a couple years ago with Dan and Kim, there's this group there that Cindy and I got to go have dinner with that we knew nothing about called International House of Prayer. And these guys intercede for the United States 7x24.
Yeah, I was speaking to a lady this week. I took her home after she left her car at the shop, and she was telling me about the International House of Prayer, how they stay open 24 hours a day, and they've got a hotline where you can call and you can prayer.
Yeah.
You can ask them for prayer anytime.
Absolutely. They're interceding for you and me. They're interceding for our nation. They're interceding for Israel. And I believe if that was there today, this is where Simeon would be. Mm-hmm. He'd be part of that hotline. Hey, this is Simeon, how can I take your prayer today? He loved God. That alone made him special in this world. Those people stand out, don't they? Those people that you can just see love God and they have joy in their life all the time, and you know the Holy Spirit is just moving and active in their life. You're like, I want that. How do I get that? You remember the story of the sorcerer that tried to pay off, I think it was Peter or Paul, to get the Holy Spirit? And then I think it was Peter. And Peter rebuked him big time and threatened, said, your life will be gone today if you don't repent. And he repented. And I think his name was Simon the sorcerer. Very close to Simeon. But we see those people and we're like, how do you get that? Well, if we read the story of Simeon and understand how he lived his life, we can see why the Holy Spirit was so active in it. He was in devout service to God. And somehow God communicated through the Holy Spirit. And the Lord said he would not die before seeing the Lord's Messiah. I don't know if you've ever had the Holy Spirit speak to you that way, where God gives you some revelation or tells you something. And here's how God works. There's always, his promises always go this way. If you, then I. If you, then I.
You take the first step and believe and trust in me and see what happens.
Go read all the New Testament, all of his covenants. Well, God promised. Go read that again. He said, if you, then I. Right? So it's a covenant. It's a two-way street here in just about every promise God delivers.
It's a question of, do you trust me enough to do what I tell you to do?
That's right. Simeon could have said, yeah, I'm going to blow that off. It's been 30 years now. That's not going to happen. I'm just going to, thank you, God. I'm done. Or he could believe it with all his heart and know that God's timing is going to be perfect and God is faithful. We can trust God with his promises. He delivers on everything he says he's going to deliver. Simeon could have easily ignored that promise. He could have said, no. Nah. But instead, he was in tune with the Holy Spirit. God moved in his life and he moved with him. He was in step with the Spirit. Something we forget to do often. And it was because of that that something miraculous took place. What we know about Simeon here is that he waited with anticipation. He knew God's promise was going to come to fruition. He didn't know when it was going to take place. God never said, this Sunday at this time, I'm going to deliver you on this promise. He just said, you will never die. You will not die until. Simeon was faithful to that promise. Simeon was faithful to the Lord. Simeon was devout to the Lord. Simeon continued to live his life in worship and prayer and dedication and listening to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine having somebody or the Lord say that to you and years and years and years go by and then all of a sudden the Lord starts nudging you to go do something? How exciting that would be.
Well, I start thinking about what you do when you ask God, I want to do your service instead of mine.
Yeah.
And then wait and see what happens.
Right. It sends chills up my spine just to think about how God was moving in this man's life. Luke tells us what he's been waiting for. What was the promise? What were you waiting for? Well, he was waiting for the redemption of his beloved people, Israel, the Jews. God's chosen people. God's salvation is what he was waiting to see. He was in the right place at the right time to meet face to face the Son of God. As Simeon chose to ignore the Holy Spirit, this little story probably wouldn't be in Luke, would it? It would have been left out, I'm guessing. Well, could Simeon have done that? Absolutely, we have free will. God doesn't force his will. God imposes it. He lets you know what his will is. But again, it's if you will, then I will. And Simeon chose to be faithful. Once Simeon saw this child, this Messiah, this little infant that had just been dedicated in the temple, I'm sure there were thousands of people around the temple. The Holy Spirit leads him to this one child, this one person. Think about that for a second. How many times have you maybe been standing in line at the grocery store? Maybe you're at a party with friends. Maybe you're on an airplane like me, sitting next to some stranger. And the Holy Spirit prompts you to share something with that person.
I do it once a week.
Once a week. On your schedule, is that your schedule or God's schedule? Yeah, that's
God's schedule.
All right.
He tracks them in the truck and they can't get away.
I love it, Roy.
And all this time you've had no complaints, have you? No one's called the corporate and said, hey, that guy keeps preaching to people.
We can't ignore when the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. You see how important that is? We have to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. We have to know His voice. We have to know when He's encouraging us to go do something or go somewhere. Sometimes it's just going to church. Sometimes it's going to one of our outreaches. Don't ignore that when the Holy Spirit's speaking, because you're going to be in the right place at the right time for something miraculous to take place.
Look at that. Y'all laugh at me, but I wouldn't have learned about the International House of Prayer if I wouldn't have said something.
That's right. That's right. Nobody's laughing at you, Roy.
We're laughing
with you, my friend.
Your wife's laughing at you.
So he sees this baby and he begins to prophesy. He begins to prophesy. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. How awesome. He was just filled with joy. God delivered on his promise at the right time in the right place, and a miracle took place. Simeon allowed the Holy Spirit to just guide his life, to tell him where to go, what to do, and he was obedient to that. And he got to see this miracle child. Now let's move on to another person in this narrative. After Simeon, then we go to Anna. So this was a very busy temple. There were a lot of people here. There were a lot of things taking place at one time. And so let's look at Luke 2, verses 36 through 38 now. Do you have anybody that'd like to read them? Okay.
Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem.
Thank you so much. Well, here's the second character in our narrative. This is Anna. Not your sister, but it's an Anna. And Anna, again, we know very little about. There's nowhere else in Scripture that we read about Anna, right? And so here she pops up. Unlike Simeon, she actually has a title. She is a prophet, or a prophetess, is what the Bible says. And we know that she's a descendant of the tribe of Asher, right? That's about all we know. We also know that she's old. According to the Scripture, it says she's very old. That she was married for only 7 years and became a widow. And ever since that time, she has devoted her life in the temple of God. Yes, ma'am.
Question. When they say she's a prophetess and she's in the temple, but I would have thought that in that time frame in history, women weren't allowed to serve like that. I don't recall anywhere in the Bible when women were really called to be.
Well, that was in the Old Testament. This is the New Testament. This is a different temple. Now, this is Herod's temple, very corrupt. Mm-hmm. Okay. Not to say that it was corrupt for women to be there, but women were in service all the time in the temple in this period of time.
Okay.
And so Anna was one of them. You'll read other stories about Jesus encountering women at the temple. So, you know, she was in the Holy of Holies. You look at Mary. Mary went up to make a sacrifice at the temple, right? So there were women worshiping in the temple.
But she was more like she had a position or something.
She didn't. She just devoted her life to praying and serving God.
And so, that's called her prophetess because of all the devotion she had?
I don't know how Luke got that title for her. Most likely, Luke did a lot of investigation into his stories. He was a historian as well as a doctor. He was very educated. He could write. And so he interviewed these people firsthand in most cases. And I'm guessing he interviewed this widow. The text says that she was 84. There's two theories. That she's been a widow for 84 years or that she's 84 years old. Because it says she is very old, I believe she's probably about 105 to 106. Keep in mind, when you were a Jewish woman, you got married at the age of 14, 15 usually. Okay? And so 7 years after that makes her, what, 22? And then if she's been serving for 84 years, that puts her around 105, 106. And so 84 in this time period to me wasn't very old. 105, 106 would probably be pretty old back in this time. And so here she is, devoted. It says that she worships day and night. Sounds like Simeon in a way. She's devout, right? She's dedicated her life to serving the Lord. Can you imagine just going to the temple day and night and just worshiping and praying and fasting? Sometimes we have a problem going to church for an hour on Sundays, right? Here, this lady, that's all she did. That was her whole life. She was an intercessory person, in my opinion. She interceded for Israel. She interceded for the saints. She was a woman that you'd want on your side in time of need to be praying for you. You ever see The War Room? What an awesome movie. That lady, that prayer warrior in there. Holy cow, that's what I picture with Anna here, man. The War Room.
Oh, yeah.
Can't remember what that lady's name was, but man, could she pray.
It was even more funny to me toward the end of the movie when she sold her house and that guy came in and walked in the closet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember that. But that's what I picture Anna being, man. You need prayer, you go to Anna. Anna's going to pray whatever it is in an existence. She's going to pray things out of your life. She's going to make things happen. She's going to shake the heavens. So that's Anna. So what are some of the common things between Simeon and Anna that make this story so cool?
They're constantly giving to the Lord. Yep. Their time.
Faithful, devoted.
Faithful, devoted. What else? What else do you see as commonalities between these two? They know God. They love God. They want to serve God with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their soul. Were they sinless? Absolutely not. But they were yet considered righteous. Why were they considered righteous?
Because of their devotion to the Lord.
Because they love God. They love God. It didn't say sinless, it said righteous.
And they believed in the Messiah's coming too.
Absolutely.
Or some Israel probably didn't.
A lot of Israel rejected the whole notion of this being the Messiah, right? They both cared an awful lot about Israel, I believe. They were both moved by the Holy Spirit, all right? So the Holy Spirit had to be involved when she went and saw the Messiah and picked him up and said the things she said about him. She wouldn't have done that on her own. The Holy Spirit had to move in her life, even though it wasn't directly pointed out by Luke. Both people were devout. The Holy Spirit was in their life. They were in tune with the Holy Spirit, and they responded when the Holy Spirit moved in their life. Both were waiting with anticipation. They were both waiting for God to redeem Israel. They were waiting for God's salvation. And they both got to see it firsthand. For Simeon, he was waiting on comfort and salvation. And he got to see it firsthand through the Messiah. Anna, I believe, was waiting for forgiveness, and she got to see it again through the Messiah. So their anticipation was over. It said that Simeon said he could now be in peace because he saw this with his own eyes. And through Jesus Christ, their wait was over. Through Jesus Christ, all this anticipation was now over. God delivered on that promise. What's so cool about this story is these are the first people that really encounter the Christ after the nativity scene, right? After that, they take him to the temple, and these are the two people that become the focus of the story. And what we learn through this is that Jesus provides everything we need. When Jesus came, he provided the very things that Simeon and Anna were waiting for. Jesus alone, this little infant. God comfort for Simeon, provided forgiveness for Anna. Both of them got to see with anticipation that act fulfilled through this one child, Jesus Christ.
Because at that point, Simeon was ready to be called home.
He was ready. He's like, I'm done. Take me up now. Salvation is mine. The question I want us to think about for today, what is your anticipation of God? What are you waiting for this Christmas? What are you anticipating to happen? You know, some of us are probably struggling in different ways, whether it be loneliness or emptiness or sickness or family problems or financial problems. Maybe some of us are afraid or maxed out with we've given everything we can give and we can't give any more. And whatever it is, we can always find comfort in Christ. Whatever it is, whatever problem we are facing today, Jesus Christ is the answer. Can I get an amen? You guys believe that?
Yes, sir.
I know each of you in this room quite well. And what I want to say to you is that I have a different conclusion that I wrote up here, but I want to say something to you as individuals that I know very well. This story is about living your life in devotion to God. It's about knowing that Christ is all we need. He is the fulfillment of all things in our life. He will fill every void in your life. Whatever you're waiting on God is going to come through Jesus Christ. He is always the answer. And all of us here have been brought together by God, by the Holy Spirit. It says one Spirit unites the church. And we all have a role to play. Like Anna and like Simeon, we need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is moving in our lives, we need to respond accordingly and not put it off. We need to act with immediate responses when God is pushing you to do something. We are not here to please men, we are here to please God. There is fulfillment in that alone. And so I want us to all be very careful about ignoring it when God is moving in our lives. We all live in a very busy time. But when God is moving, we better respond positively. We better respond and expect miracles when you do. There are times where I'm tired, I'm worn out. Times where I'm burned out. Just like, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm just tired. And then God steps in and he says, I've got a mission for you. There's somebody that I want you to speak to today. There's something I want you to do. And I'm like, okay. And then God shows up and I see miracles happen all the time in those situations. And so no matter how tired you are, no matter how burned out you might be, no matter how scared you are about what's in the future, the Holy Spirit is going to move you in the right direction. You just have to be willing to listen and respond And I'm telling you, the reason God was moving so actively in their lives, not only because of the Messiah, he could have chose anybody at this time to fill these roles, is because they were devout. They trusted God with their lives. They trusted God's promises. They knew that God would deliver on everything he said he would deliver on. They spent time in prayer and worship and praise. Let's not forget to do that. We come here on Sunday and we sing these songs. We think, okay, what's next? What's next on the program here?
You think I bought a yellow one? I talk to him every day, all the time.
Well, that's awesome. We worship God. We have those songs because we need to worship God. That's how we connect with God. That's how we show our dedication, our appreciation to the Lord, the Savior of the universe.
There's times where I feel like he's like, Elvis, he feels, go away, kid, you bother me.
Yeah. Thank God he's not, man, because he says, bring all your problems to me. That's what the word says. So, do you guys get what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
Let me go ahead and close this in prayer.